Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
791.
How are you, Suze? What are you drinking there in your old mug?
This is Naked Wines in here.
Oh, mine's alcoholic too. I made myself a hot toddy because we talked about it in the last episode, and then I was like,
sounds
just
good.
Because I'm not at the ski resort doesn't mean I can't bring the ski resort to the old studio.
That's so true.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you can improvise. Yeah. I love my brain candy mug that Sarah designed.
Oh, thank you.
She's an incredible artiste.
Thank you.
And I also love Naked Wines.
Yeah. You know what I've been thinking about doing is a adult coloring book because I realized that a lot of the coloring books that you find are AI created. And as somebody who needs it to make sense, as AI does, it gets a little messy in some places and things don't make sense. And you're like, what's a human didn't do this. A computer did this.
Yeah.
And then I looked into it and they are just publishing companies that are using AI to make them. And I feel like we need humans to like do those kind of things.
Yeah. So. Cause you could just do the design you already have as a coloring book. That's so
different
great.
Different themes. And like, I already have them all done. And like, as somebody who recently really enjoyed coloring books, shout out to you Brainiacs who sent me them. I'm like, oh, this is awesome and really fun. And
forward.
You could do it while you watch TV. And I love an activity like that.
Yeah, that's so fun. Okay. Yeah. I like the brainstorm session. Brain candy storm.
Yeah, look at that. You guys just get like sneak peek at the ground floor. No. Yeah. But I'll tell you something. What is really capturing my attention these days, besides coloring books, are you following the story of Charlotte, the impregnated, but not really, stingray?
I know about it, but I'm not following it. I can't confess to that.
I don't know if this has something to do with like me losing my reproductive organs.
Yeah.
It's got to. I kind of stepped back like as I was writing down my notes for this and I was like,
you're like, this is so relatable.
This seems like something.
I'm sure.
I should explore this in therapy, maybe. But since, this place serves as my therapy sometimes.
That makes total sense. Because if you are confronting something that most people take for granted, which is the presence of and use of their reproductive organs, it would make sense that you would be drawn to stories about, like, alternative methods.
Alternative methods.
Let's call it that.
We could call it that. Yeah.
What is the deal? Like, is this a mystery to scientists?
So we haven't seen any. We've talked about this on the show. The occurrence of, and it's this. It's a word that starts with a P that I'm not even going to try to pronounce, and I don't really remember. But it's basically like the scientific term for animals that are able to, like, with the absence of a male, will still have offspring,
reproduce.
But those offspring then can't reproduce is what we see.
Is
this in snakes, some in amphibians. Well, we don't know. That's
we
the whole thing. So this stingray is in a tank with some other fish and also two other sharks named Mo and Larry. And there are some people who believe because the stingray has some bites on her back that maybe one of the sharks had impregnated her. But then researchers stepped in and they were like, no, based on their reproductive anatomy, that couldn't happen. And so they noted the people in North. So it's this is in an aquarium in North Carolina and no males in the tank. 8 years. This gal has been only lady
flying solo,
flying solo through the water with their little stingray. It's very appropriate because they do kind of look like that. And then they started noticing that she's got a hump on her back and it started to grow. And so they get the old fish vet out there with their little ultrasound machine. I've watched all of these videos. I've seen more ultrasounds of this fish than I have of my own body.
Sarah's buying cigars for the birth.
100%. I am fully invested. You know those people who like follow like the nests and like the eagles are hatching or whatever and they're following the the pandas or whatever. I don't know if this is an age you hit or some sort of like milestone.
Right.
I don't know what this is. Bird watching next. It might be. I already have the binoculars for it. So I'm ready.
She's going to be asking for crispy bacon and hot tea.
Oh my
at
God,
restaurants.
Wait, are those old people things? Because I already do that.
Yes.
Oh no.
She's in her Golden Girls era. It's happening.
It's 100%. So, yeah.
What is the gestation period of a stingray? Like, when does she due?
That is... Well, here's the thing. They don't know when she became pregnant. So they can't even monitor that. And they said, like, I can't remember how long it's been, but they're monitoring it every day. And so
what
am I.
What do they do? They like poop out these babies. Like where do they come out? Where? A vagina?
I think like a hole in the bottom somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And then they come out swimming because that's out the, and there are multiple babies in there because they could see them flipping their tails around.
That is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Like they're going to come out like.
Isn't it funny though that like you, let's say you're the lady that gets pregnant without a man.
Yeah.
To me, that's like extraordinary. I mean, it's literally extraordinary.
Right. They wrote a whole book about it.
What?
The Bible?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wink, wink. That's what happened. but anyway, like, so she is amazing and she can defy the limits of normal animals.
Yes.
It's so weird, though, that then her offspring historically would then be not just regular breeders, but devoid of breeding capability.
It's almost like
she stole the ability.
Yeah. And the body wants to be pregnant and it's like a biological need to create an offspring. And then after that, it's like the parental role is done. It almost feels like that, where it's like, it's completed its task. And now that offspring is on its own because there's no like protecting that offspring afterwards. It's just like.
My parents had the stingray approach also.
The stingray approach.
Good luck. Yeah, we did it. Let's see if you can.
Yeah, exactly. There were a lot of those. Well, at my age, I had already done this and this and this. You could figure it out. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Wow. So what do you think? Like, are you inspired by her? What's her name? We know Mo and Larry.
Charlotte.
But
Charlotte.
Why are they naming them Larry and Mo if they're not boys?
They are. The sharks are boys. The two sharks that are in the tank. Yes. Correct.
Okay. I mean, they're still on my suspect list.
Right. Everybody's. The fish. Is it a fish? Yes. Here we go again. we've been down this road before. Pull up the chart. Fucking A. I should like have that as a graphic that I could like point to like, and under this we have fish and under this we have,
hard to keep track.
It really is. I remember seals and separating seals and
Sea lions and walrus,
and that's about all I got. Yeah, see, we learn the information, but
we
only
know
a
lot
of
stuff. Okay,
yeah, totally. Okay,
I'm sorry. This is a total aside.
Well, I love those.
But like, don't you feel like you know a lot of stuff and you can do a lot of stuff? Like,
yeah,
you're pretty well rounded. Like, you're funny. Yeah. You're smart. You're pretty. You have it.
Jeez, thank you.
And then. Like, doesn't it annoy you when, like, you confess to, like, one maybe weakness or something or phobia or whatever, and then people act like you need to work on that?
Yeah.
I say this because that happened to me the other day.
Oh, tell me. Oh.
Well, just, like, I was talking about my phobia of stink bugs.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Who told you need to work on that? You
well,
have your little phobia.
The person I was telling, she doesn't know me that well. And so she's just imagining then that I am like a girly girl who's like not tough at all and needs to like.
You've eaten literal bugs.
She doesn't know anything like that.
You've swallowed them whole for money on live on national television.
She goes, we need to work on you. Like as if I was like. And I was like, do we?
Pull up the highlight reel.
We do. Yeah. Do you have a soundtrack to your life? I do. Okay. No. Anyway.
Oh.
So the stingray, we don't know when she's going to blow.
No, we do not.
Those babies are coming out.
Yeah.
And then once they're born, will we be able to determine whether there is some sort of weird hybrid?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's where we left off. So this has been done before at, guess where? The Denver Zoo. Because a chimp was born and they didn't know who the father of the chimp was. There were four suspects.
It's like
you're going to love the next. Guess who they called to announce it?
No.
Yes. 100% they called Maury and he revealed who the father was.
Wow. Who was it?
I don't fucking remember. I didn't.
Was it a chimp?
Oh, it was. Yes.
Yeah.
Susie. Well, was it the zookeeper?
Well, because, no, I'm asking because, like, what was the mystery? No, if there's a male chimp.
There were four of them, though. Okay. There were four males. There were multiple males. We were having, like a true Maury. No, it was a Maury situation.
Okay. I see. Okay.
Not a stingray situation.
Got you.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes. I didn't make that clear enough, maybe.
No, you did. Maybe. I mean, it should be implied.
I mean,
but
we would have heard about the mammal with most shared DNA to us that became pregnant at the zoo by my house.
You're right. There would have been a parade. Lesbians would have paraded.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
okay.
That definitely would have made the brain candy topic, you know, list.
I love how I'm like, who was the father? And you're like, I don't remember. It's the name
of a chimp. It's a chimp name. It sounds very chimp-like. It's like, you know.
Okay. But so this time those stingrays will be born, and then what will they do to determine?
They'll do a little DNA test. They'll take a little bit
and
of blood,
might say shark?
And then they'll see if the DNA is like.
What's your money on?
That it's one of these spontaneous pregnancies.
How does
that we
that
just
happen?
Haven't seen it in the stingrays in
community
captivity.
So do you think that it's like maybe they were intersex? You know, where you have
in
genitalia?
A way, yes, that's what it's called. I'm going to look up that word right now. Hang on.
You know, the eyes in LGBTIA, they are kind of like, we just don't even pay any attention to them.
Right. It's very important.
I know. The intersex community, I mean, it turns out they might be like freaking superheroes.
Oh.
They don't need no stinking man.
Yeah, because it's important to kind of use these things to, like, what is it that...
What is happening?
Yeah, what's happening that provides information.
Well, let me take a minute to provide you some information about one of my favorite things in the whole wide world, which is wild grain bread and pastas and yummy treats. These things come to your door frozen, you stash them in your freezer, and then when you want fresh, like bakery style and bakery quality bread or croissants or pasta or pastries, you just get them out. And they're ready in no time. And it seriously tastes like a restaurant. It's outstanding. The everything sourdough bread will change your life. Seriously. And you can customize your box. So if you want just bread or some combination of breads and pastas and stuff like that, you can make it however you want. And for a limited time, you get $30 off your first box plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/braincandy to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/braincandy. That's wildgrain.com/braincandy, or you can use promo code braincandy at checkout. You will love it. It's incredible.
Okay, parthenogenesis.
That's the P word.
Yes. It's called... it's a thing, and it's called parthenogenesis, and small invertebrates such as bees, wasps, ants, aphids can alternate between sexual and asexual reproduction, and it's been observed in more than 80 vertebrae species, about half of which are fish or lizards. So this is something that does happen.
Okay.
Yeah, asexual reproduction, they call it. And it says it requires only one parent organism, and it results in a genetically identical offspring because you only have one source of DNA. So that's why since there's no mixing of genetic information, the organisms don't need to spend time finding a mate. Populations can, these ones say that they can reproduce.
That's great. Well, that's wonderful.
Then the population can increase rapidly due to asexual reproduction. Oh, maybe this is different because the snakes couldn't. There was at least a python that we talked about that couldn't. It's like,
I think that's
in captivity.
For the best.
Yeah. So there you
go. Okay. Well, keep
We're
an
updating.
Eye out.
And I'll be like lighting that cigar and
do it. Do like a whole.
I will, like an announcement. Like we don't know. Is it a girl? Is it a boy?
Right.
Actually, right now it's both. So they all are both. Everything is both.
Everything is both. They're theys. They're theys.
Yes.
Okay, great. That's great news. Hope springs eternal.
This is like a nice segue because it's sort of in line with birth announcements or gender reveals. Mm-hmm. The couple that had that gender reveal gone wrong.
Which one?
The one in California that caused the huge fire.
Yeah.
That led to firefighters die, like people die in the accident.
Yeah.
They were sentenced and they have to serve a year in jail, 2 years probation, and complete 200 hours of community service. And they're ordered to pay almost like $1.8 million to victims.
Oh, man.
Not worth it.
Yeah, no one cares.
Can't believe.
Only you care.
Right.
Do it in your living room if you must.
Right. With a balloon or if you must.
A piece of cake. You know how you do that? Make the cake
But Charlotte did that or Charlotte's parents did that. And aren't they feeling like fools now?
Yeah, jokes on them.
Jokes on them.
I do. Okay. I want to just say, because I know I've seen like in our Instagram feed, Brainiacs sometimes do these gender reveals. So I'm not, if that's important to you and it was fun. I know what it's like.
It's the manslaughter I have a problem with. Just so we're clear, it's not the gender reveal as much as it is the arson and manslaughter.
It's both. Because, I do know the feeling. It's like when you're pregnant, you just time stands still. At least it did for me, where you're like, I cannot believe I'm still pregnant. Yeah, and you do want something to like be excited about, something to look forward to. You kind of like, I do understand that urge, but it's a weird thing to be that obsessed with.
Yeah. It's like, taking it up a notch. It's like the one-upping. What really is the problem is the need to like share that content. Like this clearly wasn't just done for them.
Well, that's
they're doing
good
this
point.
For
this wasn't
like,
just for you
thing.
And your partner or your family. Yeah,
that's so lovely. I love
that's
a ritual.
True.
Nobody loves a ritual more than me. Like make them do them celebrate. I love that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like if just do it intimately.
Yeah, but that is what we have a problem with is like. You know, I like never
You're
have
right.
a problem with birthday
Thanks
parties,
for identifying
but I have
the
a problem
issue.
With showcasing things.
Yes.
And I'm saying that as somebody who spent their life on reality television just showcasing
We're disgusted by you people needing all this attention.
It takes on to no one, I'm just saying.
That's so true. Like, we can identify your motive.
100%.
We've been there.
Just like I could point out anybody who's stoned in a crowd. I'm like, that person's like me
what
right now.
What is it? The vibe or do you see symptoms?
Well, I would imagine in the same way when you and I went traveling, they don't come up to you to ask you if you want to buy weed, but they always come up to me. And I was stone cold sober at all those occasions.
Well, what is it? The vibe?
I don't know. There's a
was
vibe.
Something
There's
you're
just
wearing?
Like a, maybe. I don't know. A vibe. But also when somebody is, I'm just saying you can tell.
That
like,
is such a true story.
But
when Sarah and I were in Brazil.
Yes.
She was persistently approached.
It must be like, the tattoos.
She's, oh.
You look like
you're
there on a missionary trip. And I look like I'm running from the law.
You're one of my, like, potential converts.
Yes! Yeah! Yeah, you saved me.
That is so sad.
And
I
very
need
funny.
Some edge. I need, like, a leather jacket or something.
You've got tattoos. They're just hidden. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, and Sarah. I feel I feel ashamed.
Don't,
but it was so funny. I kept thinking, like, how do they know she smokes pot?
I just like put out the bat signal. And I probably
like
have a look on my
you.
Face. Like I'm looking for something, but it's not at the
she's
flea
just a
market.
She's confused and she's
it's
got
not,
the munchies.
Yeah. 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 Something like that. You're setting me up for perfect segues because
Let's
I didn't mean
it.
To talk about, you know, these kind of like, following people or cult leaders or whatever, but I also have an update on Andrew Keegan.
Oh, good.
Did you hear about
this? I saw him in the news, and I saw that he was, like, denying that he runs a cult, but I was relying on you to give me the scoop.
I'm so glad you did. So he... Yeah.
What is his background? He was in what? Ten Things I Hate About You.
I had such a crush on him. He was in all these random, like, 90s movies, and...
Like Jennifer Love Hewitt style.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And that era. And he had this, like, bad boy, but you could probably turn him around.
Like a heart
thing.
Of gold. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Like, he just needs the right woman to love, like, or a girl who's going to, like, see him and tame that artistic, like, whatever it was. Rough edges. And so he moves to Venice, lives in Venice.
Yes.
And he hangs out with all of these, like, bohemian kind of people. And there's a building that's like a old Tibetan, like, monastery thing that was, like, built out there that nobody had been using and was really run down. So him and his spiritual buddies got together and were like, we're going to create... We're going to make this run again, where you use it as an event space, and we're going to host parties and events. And he said they poured like tens of thousands of dollars into, I don't even think, maybe it was like monthly. I don't know. It didn't seem like a whole bunch that when he said, but apparently a bunch of money they were given to this place. Mm-hmm. And it was more of an event center, but they called the group Full Circle. And then a reporter from, I think it was Rolling Stone that came in, did an interview, and it was the reporter writing, like, the headline was like, Andrew Keegan is running a cult, and people kind of took that and ran with it in the same way. Remember when we were talking about American Nightmare and the media? Okay. Labeled it as like, this is a Gone Girl situation. And then we just like accepted that because that sounds like a crazy cool story. And there's no follow up. It felt like that because he was like, it was just a group, like it was more like Burning Man people getting together and doing Burning Man things, not during Burning Man.
Okay.
They were like hosting like gay weddings and shit.
Okay, like, so you know, it's more like spiritual hippity-dippity.
Yeah, I do.
I'm dubious.
Because I haven't heard anybody who's been a member that's complained of any, like...
right.
And it's not still together. It was 2017. It was like 3 years.
Okay, but maybe Andrew Keegan ran an unsuccessful cult.
Well, okay, then is it really a cult then? That's just like... Like, you
You're
had a book
a
club
failure.
That stopped.
Okay. It was like attempted not like, cult leader.
And I know? Think these are the kind of people who, the same way, like, Burning Man people probably spend a whole bunch of money on, like, the setup and the gear and donate stuff for that and everything. And, like, it could be thousands of dollars, but those people wouldn't like, nobody's like labeling that as like a cult. So I think that he wasn't like taking people's money and
but
saying like,
if you found out that anybody that went to Burning Man was in a cult, you wouldn't be shocked.
Not at all.
They seem like the type that would join one.
Right.
There's some overlap is what I'm saying.
100%.
But what is the deal with these people? Is it just pot? I don't get what their whole deal is.
No,
like Burning
it's more
Man
like
people.
That. It's all about like the oneness and the connection and the community and like stripping away like the constructs of like society and, you know, the man and corporate America and all that. And it's like trade. And I've never been, but this is what I hear from people who go that. And it's a lot about like.
And do you buy into that? You're like, yeah, that's probably really what
it's not for me because there are a thousand other reasons why it's not for me. It's there are too many noises. It's too much stimulation. Yeah, I think their intentions are pure. I think that the people who go there sometimes find community and connection in that space.
You're like, so nice.
Yeah, I just see it. I've seen people who talk about it and they talk about like really like growing as people And like,
here's most, why I hate you know, it.
Yeah. Okay.
Sarah.
And I'll Sarah. Never go ever.
Yeah. No.
Plus, I'm not fun on drugs, like, and I don't like. And there's and there's always like what I'm too focused. I won't do drugs. I can't. I'm like, I wasn't even good on the drugs the doctors prescribed me. I had to go off those.
The anti-anxiety drugs give her anxiety.
Yeah, I can't do it. I'm like, nope, I can't. I like call my brother. Am I overdosing? He's like, you took half of what the doctor prescribed. No.
She's cautious.
I'm way too, and that person is no fun at Burning Man. Right. Like, could you imagine? I'm such a buzzkill. So I'm like, quick, check my pulse. I've had a beer.
Well, I'll tell you what's not a buzzkill, and that is Honey Love Everything.
Everything. Do you like support? Do you like to feel like you have two boobs instead of one? Well, then try Honey Love, because it will give you that.
Yeah. Do you like to not feel like a nightmare throughout the day? Well, you're right. In luck.
Do you want to not have to keep pulling your leggings up and doing that weird move where you're like hiking them up?
What about the bra bulge? Like one of those, yeah. Like if you get a supportive bra normally, it's like, well, bad news. You get support, but you also get, yeah, a bra bulge.
None of that. This is smooth. This is like looking good under your clothes. I saw the wedding collection. Amazing.
Yeah. This shapewear is amazing. They also have clothes. They have a dress. They have leggings. They have tops. I love the new V-neck that I got. So supportive, very flattering.
And you can wear that without a bra. You just wear the top by itself. Oh, that's a love. Yeah. I love that.
And they're just hanging out up there. I'm like, look at those melons. Looking great, ladies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Tip of the hat to. Yeah. Tip of the hat to Honey Love and my melons. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market. Save 20% off at honeylove.com/braincandy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/braincandy. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show. Tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honey Love because you deserve it. Really nice stuff. Yes.
Love it.
I don't like it because what would convince me that Andrew Keegan, for example, is repulsed by the trappings of capitalism and institutions would be if he turned those residual checks down.
Right.
When they're hitting his mailbox.
This almost seems like I'm searching for deeper meaning in, and it feels very LA. This feels exactly the same as like LA, like, you know, getting Botox and fillers and then go into the spiritual retreat. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. 100% that.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it feels a little bit like. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you are optimistic that he is probably just
well, and
a
he's
hippie.
In the public eye now, and he's
what's he
been.
Doing? Is he still acting?
I don't know, but I tried to find stuff on that. But he's on red carpets and he's doing podcasts, and he's not like talking about it weird and saying like, you know, when you hear people who are leading that, they're in it and they believe
like
they're
Randy
drinking
Quaid.
Their own Kool-Aid, you know.
Whatever the Quaid brother is, that's like got the beard and he was in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You know, the shitter's full.
Yes.
That
guy,
he's bonkers.
Oh, I haven't gone down that rabbit hole before.
Yeah. It's a treat. It's a
treat.
Okay. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like whenever one of those characters gets a microphone.
Right.
There's no mistaking.
And,
yeah.
Right. And this guy's like, no, there was an article about me and this, it was weird. Wasn't that weird?
Look into
like,
this.
Yeah. I think it was on the Boy Meets World podcast, like the one that.
It took him a while to defend himself. I mean, we're talking 5 years later for him to be like, hey, wait a minute. That's not true.
Maybe he was seeing if the cult worked out. Maybe. Or maybe he was like, yeah, he was definitely in it with those spiritual people. And then he's like a dad and he must have custody of his daughter or something. Cause he's got pictures only with her and it doesn't seem like there's a lady in his life.
Are you eyeing him up?
No,
someone's interested. You'd be the perfect match for someone who was mistaken for a cult leader.
Yeah, probably. But I don't want to move to LA. Right. And I'm happy with LA.
That's
yeah.
where you draw the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can't go back there. I'm gonna have to get Botox and fillers, and I don't want to. It's too much work.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'll keep my eye on him, though. I think this is not the end of that story.
Yeah. I would love that as to watch that unfold and had there to be some. I can't wait for the next
the
documentary.
Plot thickens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. What other stories do I have? I read this one. Did you hear about the Canadian teacher who? And the school board that's being sued for $1.4 million after the parents accused him of exploiting their children.
No.
When they found artwork drawn by the students posted for sale on a whole bunch of websites.
Mm-hmm. That is not great.
Not great.
Where is he selling this garbage? Who's buying? I have so
many questions. Actually really fucking cool pictures.
Oh, they are good.
And as somebody who was in elementary school, like art, you know, I did like little art teacher after school and ran the art program. Some of the work the kids came up with mm-hmm. was so good. And then we auctioned it off in a gala to raise money for the school.
Okay.
Not, could you imagine not if Sarah, as the art instructor, goes in there, does my little art lesson, takes all of their paintings, and then
I can't.
Puts them up and is selling them for like $250 each. And they have that look of like almost like, what is the artist who looks like John Batiste, but
Basquiat. Basquiat.
Yeah.
Basquiat.
And Basquiat. I always pronounced the name wrong. Mm-hmm. They kind of have that sort of look to them or style in a way. And they're cool. And you put in, remember when we watched the documentary, like My Child Could Paint That?
I think
that's what it's called.
My Kid Could Paint That.
Yeah. My mm-hmm. Kid Could Paint That.
Yeah.
And it was like these kids did some amazing artwork.
I cannot wait. Next month's Candy Club, the theme is art. And the film is The Price of Everything. And the book is Get the Picture. And they're both about the same idea of like the art world and how weird it is and how like who decides what's art and like how class warfare exists and how they like the snobbery and all that stuff. But like,
it's so pretentious and ridiculous.
That is so funny.
Now the parents are like, oh, hell no.
Well, so like, does he say, oh, what? I thought it would be good. Like, well, how does he defend himself? That's gross.
Teachers don't make enough.
So maybe that's how he could defend himself and be like, listen,
he's in Canada, in Montreal. They probably do.
You think? I hope they have better. I hope so. But if a teacher said, listen, I can't even buy erasers, I'd be like, all right, fair enough.
Right, right.
That'd be fun.
Also has turned their artwork into mugs that are selling for $41, t-shirts for $55, and even phone cases for $35.
He's like on Society 6, like 100%. Just uploading.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it.
What would you do if you were scrolling through, say, Society 6, and you come across Lincoln's artwork? Lincoln's art, because that's probably how somebody found it was like that.
I think it's gross, but I wouldn't care because I'm not going to sell. Like, what am I going to do with this garbage?
Like, I'm not putting this on the refrigerator.
No, I frame it, but I can't imagine the value for anyone else. But I mean,
they look cool and it almost looks like he gave him a prompt of draw like a monster from your nightmares or something like that. Cause some of them look like scary monsters.
And I don't like want to love this, but I kind of love it.
I knew you would. I was like, I was like thinking that it's going to be a debate. Like, as soon as you're like, I don't see
wrong.
The problem.
It's right. wrong. No, I see the problem, but it's also sort of like, I kind of love him for doing it.
And it's exploiting. It's like child labor.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
You're making the kids make art and pretending
what is the suit though? Let's say, what can you sue them for?
Exploitation.
Oh, exploitation.
Yeah, that's what it is. One of the kids said, This is amazing. 12-year-old student. Looks like schools in Montreal working because this kid's got a good vocabulary. It's unbelievable that he felt like he had the right to utilize and essentially exploit. Oh, father of a 12-year-old student. I didn't read the line right. It's my own notes, and it cut off on that line. I was like, what the fuck? This 12-year-old, hang
he's
on.
He's a prodigy. Yeah. No wonder and he sold his art.
It said the father of a 12-year-old student told a kid, yeah, that he had the right to utilize and essentially exploit these children's rights and their artwork for his own financial satisfaction. Yeah.
It's very cheeky. I mean, for sure.
So
I imagine though that even in Canada, teachers are underpaid because it's almost impossible to overpay a teacher, in my estimation.
Amen to that. There is not. And you know what? Maybe this is one of those. He's got an idea there.
Do you know how they found out? Like, do you know the story of like the parent that discovered this?
No, I wish it's. I wish
underground.
Right.
Black.
It
market.
Said that he was selling it on a personal website, which has now been redirected to Fine Art America.
That was stupid. So. He's not a very good criminal to put it on his own website. Yeah. All a parent would have to do is Google his ass.
Right. God. Or maybe it's like a personal website with a hidden name. They didn't talk a lot about that. It seems like they're kind of protecting him.
What would you have done though? Cause you're actually talented. So like if your teacher had sold your art, would you just be like flatter? I knew it.
Like, do I get a gold star for that? Am I getting an A?
Right. I don't think you would feel exploited.
Not one little bit.
She'd be flattered.
I'd be thrilled. In fact, I think I fell for that when, do you remember back in the day they used to have, maybe they still do, they used to have those like kid poetry contests where you'd like send a poem in.
I did that.
I did that too. Did you win? Because I won, but I think everybody wins. And then I like announced it to my mom, like I've won, which then means you like have to like send in to buy the book or something like that, which is basically just a bunch of kids who did what I did. I think we've all buried this embarrassing memory. I can't believe we both did it doesn't surprise me at all.
What was your poem called?
I even remember it was, this is so sad. This might've been a little bit of like, it was The Love for a Child, and it was talking about how much you would.
This is the name of it?
Yes.
That's so nice.
The love of a child knows no question why. It comes from deep within. The love of a child, something, something, forgives of every sin. I know that was the first, that was a line out there. I could still pull that out. What is that about? I was working through some shit, though.
I think that we really were like thinking we were going to be poetry people.
Oh my God. Tell me what yours was.
Mine's way more embarrassing.
Tell me right now.
I'm not going to tell you.
Mine
lines.
Is basically called Please Love Me, Please Love Me. So what's yours called?
Mine is called My Country.
God bless America.
Yeah, because that's if you grew up in evangelicalism, where you're now seeing what that resulted in, this sort of
nationalism.
Like nationalism, right? Where you equate your love of country with your faith. Uh-huh. The city on a hill, it's a whole thing. We're supposed to be a beacon. Anyway, okay. I really bought into this and I thought. It's like North Korea. Like there's no greater expression of virtue than to devotion to your country. Wow. But I do remember the poem. I refuse to say it because it's so bad. Like yours is actually good.
Well, I do think mine actually was good. For a 10-year-old, I was like, that was fucking fire. And I think I have the poem book somewhere buried in my, I think I
saved. You bought it?
No. I have a collection of poems that I made for a school project. Okay. And then I
submitted your best.
One, my best work. Yes.
The love of a child.
Yes. Or love for a child or like, yeah.
And you got the certificate too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I put that up like, front and center.
Poet laureate.
Yeah. I'll just add this to the old college resume when that time comes around.
Do you think I was this like, is just us?
It's hard to say.
It could go either way.
Because sometimes we don't know. The sit and reach, I learned I had a lot of people on my side with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So many.
It was the Christian school thing.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people were also very proud to have their school records. A lot of school records commented, like,
yeah.
So I wonder
they
if
were
it's like
you. They were the excellent reachers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. With this case, it could go either way. It'd be like right. A lot of people were like, oh my God, I submitted mine also. Yeah, do you remember where you saw the call for?
I feel like it was in a kid's magazine, like Nickelodeon magazine or something like that. Where do you,
mine
where
was in
yours?
Parade magazine.
Okay. It was that. It was Parade. It was like, oh it was God. That. It was probably that.
We got that scammed, sounds familiar. Sarah.
We so did. That fucking, but also published.
Right. Published authors here.
Yeah. I'm sure I must have bragged about that well into high school or something. And nobody ever corrected me and been like, me too. So maybe, you know, it's not a thing.
Oh
who knows?
God,
but we'll find out when our listeners.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Oh, I love these kind of things. Yeah. It feels like the same people who did that were also the people who were real gung-ho about the Book It program with Pizza Hut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Scholastic
there's an overlap.
There's, yeah. Those are going to be your same. Your same peeps.
Over at Tracy Flick.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. The amount of times I've been compared to her. It is insane.
All right. Well, all this talk's making me thirsty, but lucky for me, I got liquid IV on the go.
Lucky for you and lucky for everybody who comes to my house because it's been such a thing. Like everybody who comes over, I'm like, do you need a liquid? I also live in high elevation and I know everybody around me is dehydrated. So I keep them in little like glasses, like just little cups with some of them on the nightstand
Pick
and then in the
IV.
Bathroom.
Yeah.
And I offer everybody who comes over. They are so fantastic. They're so easy. Like if you're somebody who's like, I don't like drinking water, you will like drinking liquid IV. Big fan of the strawberry flavor. Big fan of tropical punch. This is like my go-to, my way to feel super hydrated and just feel like I'm taking care of my body and, you know, doing what I should be.
Yeah, right. Water, and a lot of people are like that where they want to stay hydrated, but they couldn't be bothered to keep drinking water all day. This hydrates you 2 to 3 times faster and it tastes delicious. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code CANDY at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code CANDY at liquidiv.com. And don't tell them we said this, but you can go ahead and have like a little cocktail.
Yes.
As a, you know, hydration/dehydration at the same time.
The also a thing that I think would be great for this, that now that I'm thinking about this, I'm totally going to do it. You know how people put out snacks and stuff for delivery people?
Yeah.
And
that's
like,
a great idea.
I think that would be a really cool thing to put out and be like, here's some liquid IVs for you.
Yeah. Thank you for
along
your service.
Your delivery route. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Because they probably already have a water bottle, just a little something extra to say, I'm thinking
pour
about
it in.
You.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We're full of ideas over here, okay?
Yeah. All right, what else fun things do we have to talk about? Oh, this is not fun, but we have to talk about it. It's now been a little while since this happened, but what the fuck is going on airplanes? Why are maggots falling from the ceiling?
Maggots?
Oh my God, you didn't hear about this?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay. During a flight, a flight leaving Amsterdam from Amsterdam to Detroit, a Delta Airlines flight had to turn around when maggots started falling from the overhead bin onto a woman.
I would jump out of the plane.
Everybody said like that the woman looked like she was trying so desperately to get all the maggots off. And it was not a whole bunch. It was only like a couple maggots that fell, but I think one is more than enough. And then it was a man who claimed ownership of the bag who had brought fish wrapped in newspaper in his carry-on that was fucking rotting.
What?
Could you? They're exactly.
Right.
What? Because can you imagine how far in advance did you fucking pack for your trip, sir?
he's just really good at planning.
Like, where did the breakdown, what happened?
Because I would be less upset if it were just a bag of maggots than I am about the fact that he's bringing fish on an airplane. Fish.
On an airplane.
Rotten fish.
Yes. And like, but you, this is in your carry-on bag. And we would imagine a carry-on bag that has like an open top or something, because the fish then had to like spill out and then the maggots had to crawl down and then just drop off onto her.
A lot of things had to go wrong.
And
what the fuck was he thinking? He was going to eat it?
Correct. That's what I want to know.
Oh, my God.
The problem, some people are like, security isn't, like, they're letting too much get through. Or, like,
oh, yeah,
also there's,
the
like, a whole bunch of contamination issues. Like, this is, like, the FDA, like, and agriculture, Department of Agriculture, all that stuff.
Okay.
I couldn't even believe it. I looked this up.
TSA is not trained to search for fish maggots.
Right. They are not.
We're asking too much of those poor people.
During an average day, the agriculture specialist sees, and this is, I believe, in just the U.S., yes, 2,677 prohibited plants, meat, animal byproducts, and soil on an average day.
Mm-mm.
Day. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if my weed gummies are okay on the plane. Shut the fuck up, Sarah. These guys are like smuggling in exotic animals with weird diseases.
Why was it rotten and had maggots?
I don't know.
Understand, because at the best case scenario, you're bringing fresh fish for fucked up reason.
Like fish. How but do you think that is going to keep, sir, Amsterdam to Detroit?
It's not going to get maggots that fast, though. They already had maggots when he packed that bag.
100%.
What the fuck? How long did he have this fish?
Commit this man.
How long? Have you ever found maggots in your food?
Even
zero
when times.
You left it in the fridge too long?
Zero. Zero ever. Never.
It takes a long
maggot
time to get a
here.
Maggot.
Right.
Right. Infinity days, maggot free.
And all the passengers on the plane, they had to depart. They had to, like, you know, deboard the plane and stay overnight there, because it was like the only flight they had back out. So then they got 8,000. Everybody on the plane got 8,000 miles, $30 in food credits, and a hotel stay. Not enough.
When you said 8,000, I thought you could say $8,000, and I thought, yeah, that's about right.
No, 8,000. Airline miles, which last time
is
I checked,
nothing.
Ain't even a one-way trip
to Akron.
From Detroit to Pittsburgh.
Right.
I don't know. Is that far? Is close? I have no
Yeah, that's... Wait, there's no... You can't get anything with 8,000. Are you
Nothing.
Kidding me?
Nothing. No
that
upgrades.
That is so disturbing.
Yeah.
So, but, like, where is this guy from? What's his story?
I don't know. They didn't say.
Something's wrong with him.
I agree. I think that somebody, like... Just think about that. When you're on a plane, the person sitting next to you may be carrying maggots on board.
Blech. People do, like, bring a lot of wildlife, you know, like snakes.
Yes. That is what it said. 2,677. And they also, in a day, intercept 240 insect pests, which could threaten agriculture. Do you remember when we were in Thailand and our friend Johnny Bananas from the show... Got the
She's
Thai. There's some. What was
the durian?
No, it wasn't durian. It was the fruit that kind of. I want to say lychee. That has. It's like red and mangosteen.
Oh, dragon. Oh, mangosteen.
Mangosteen.
Okay.
He brought mangosteen back.
He's an idiot.
And his mom, who runs a farmer's market, or did for a while in Santa Monica, was like. What are you doing? This could destroy like what an idiot. And he just like got through with that. And so I think that's what they're
saying. We can't rely on the public to be responsible. These bozos are barely sentient.
Right.
It's like the missing links.
Yeah.
It's like Geico caveman level.
Geico caveman would be upset that you said that, but
if you're bringing rotten maggot fish,
100%.
you need something to help you. You need medication from your
physician. Yes, you do. There's something wrong. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm like, this guy's partying in Amsterdam. Maybe wait till the shrooms wear off before you pack, sir.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's my if he was really story. Sorry, I would be a different story. Like if he was like, I am an idiot.
And it sounds to me by the few stories I read and the passenger reports of the other passengers that he wasn't quick to claim ownership of it. Which makes sense, but then I would be even more upset. Like, oh, and he's like, meanwhile, a guy has like initials on it, or like name tag on it.
Property of.
Yes, exactly. Maggie, it's like matching to his other bags that he has. God. Yeah. So
this is shocking.
I feel like I almost feel like this is a terrible, like I need like a filler story. I'm trying to look through my stories in between because to go into my uplifting next story would just be, oh, I do have another. Well, they're both food related. And so here we are. I know I just talked to you about maggots, but I'm going to talk to you about food and maybe this will like switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I read an article on NPR about how food scientists are looking at how different sounds enhance different flavors of food.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're getting real music specific. They said the sounds in the background can affect your sense of the food. The music could change, and now you're perceiving the dessert as sweeter, chocolate as milkier, and you're changing what the eater is perceiving.
Hmm. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
They said deep tones bring out the flavors of chocolate.
Okay. Do you think this is like the, your theory about, the reason that a lot of people have a foot fetish is because it's close to the part of the brain that's like aroused, has arousal something. So do you think it's like that where like whatever is lighting up for certain sounds is like near whatever lights up when you have chocolate?
I think of it more as like, each sense. I see what you mean. Because that, I was going to say each scent, additional scent, you know, that you add, like feeling, taste, touch, would heighten or enhance it. But that's not really what the study is saying. It's saying more what you're saying, that it can enhance certain flavors, which is like different. It like it stimulates.
Yeah.
That. Huh.
Maybe, because that's so weird.
Yeah, I agree. And then it makes me think how we enjoy eating certain things at the movies. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if like the soundtracks to movies go better. It's almost like I want to have, you know how they do wine pairings for dinners?
Mm-hmm.
I would love at those movie theaters that have the food that you can order there, which are like my favorite movie theaters to go to. Oh, I love it when they bring you out a glass of wine in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, what's better than
best.
That?
The best. But wouldn't it be cool if they did a movie where it was like a
full
like
sensory experience. Yeah.
Paired. And they tried to do this back in the day with these movie theaters where they would put smells into the theater when there were certain scenes on. But I think this is different. Like if you have a romantic love scene and there's the music, like the score, it's almost like you're pairing the food to the score of the movie. And that would be a really cool movie going experience.
So
somebody should come up with like a fucking Instagram or TikTok account where they do that. Tell you what that is.
That is a great idea. If we know that this is something that happens, let's enjoy it.
Right.
Let's make the most of this feature of the human weirdness.
Yeah. And I think we've talked before about certain notes being linked to certain, like what you think they're going to taste like. Cause I remember you talking about like what you think zest or like lime or lemon would taste like. And it's like sharp and it's more like these kind of jazzy notes, stuff like that. And now they're kind of taking it a step further.
Did they said chocolate. What about other foods? Did they say anything like salty?
No, they didn't talk about salty. They just did it to it. They looked right. They looked at instead changing the experience of the chocolate, whether certain notes would bring out the bitterness or the milkiness to it, and how you can change how somebody perceives what they're eating based on the sounds that you're playing in the background.
That's wild.
Right. It's almost like, in a way, triggering synesthesia.
Yeah. Right. Because if something exists for some people in an extreme way, which synesthesia is like,
yes,
then presumably it's can be a very mild version of the average person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hmm. I really do think you're onto something, though, as a business model, somebody providing this as an experience. Yeah. Wouldn't you do that for like a date, first date?
Absolutely. That would be so much fun. Like a Valentine's Day dinner where you go see some like cute romantic movie. And
then
like,
they bring out
like
whatever food.
When Harry Met Sally and a really good salad or whatever she's saying when she does the orgasm scene. It would just be fun. It would be like, I think that would be cute. And I bet that maybe somebody, if you guys listening, know of like an Instagram account or a TikTok or whoever that already does this. Like, let me know, because I want to know.
Me too. Like,
as somebody who spent a lot of time in front of TV.
Yeah, like I want to know what makes salty food taste better or whatever, or how salty food can add to what you're watching.
Yeah, like maybe The Little Mermaid, just under the sea. Just anything in the ocean. Yeah. You eat some sushi. Ooh, don't eat our friends. Maybe not. Maybe not. Scratch that.
Yeah, who knows? It's fun. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yes. Okay, I got one more story for you. One more fun little bit here. I saw this video that's, I think it's floating around online of, and I love when they do these kind of things where like researchers or journalists or whoever it is will videotape, adult, they'll ask a question to adults and videotape their answers. And then they'll ask the same question to kids. And you see how a child brain interprets that. I think one of the things that we've talked about on here before is when you ask if there's one thing about your body you could change, what would it be? And all the adults are like, oh, I would fix this. And the kids are like, I would have wings. And I would have like lizard skin, and I would probably like be like, have, like shark teeth. Yeah. It's like cool shit like that. So this was the same kind of thing where they asked parents, if you could share a meal with anyone, who would it be? And all of the adults said this celebrity, and they had like good reasons why. Somebody who's really helped a lot of people. Somebody who's like this person. Every single kid, when asked, said mom and dad.
Oh my God.
Susie, you'll die. One kid even said, does it have to be a celebrity? And they go, no. He goes, well, mom and dad.
No.
It's so fucking cute.
How old are these kids?
All ages, 5 to 12 to older. And then they talk about why. Like, and they're like, it's just so much fun. We get to talk about our day. And then you see like they had all the siblings there, like 3 siblings from ages of like 5 to, she must have been like 13 or so.
I can't believe that.
Every single child said mom and dad. Or family dinner. And then all the parents watch and the parents are like, oh, we're idiots. Why did, oh, our own children. And like looking at the importance.
Well, my answer wouldn't change though. I mean, to be clear, I'm moved by that sentiment, but like, I'm not going to pick Lincoln over fucking Jesus or something.
And it was more to emphasize the importance of shared mealtime and how that's something that's so lost and something that we don't really have. You know,
yeah, I can't relate to that.
There was a report done by the American Heart Association, which surveyed 1,000 U.S. adults about their dining habits. And it found that almost all parents, 91%, said that their family is less stressed when they share meals together. Nearly 2/3 of adults reported being at least somewhat stressed, with 84% wishing they could share a meal with others more often. And overall, respondents reported to eating alone roughly half the time. So we know that eating together, eating with a friend, with family, like, it also increases better eating habits, better, like, you're more present. It creates better routine. There are so many positives to this. Mm-hmm. I feel like we just, like, are moving farther and farther away from that. So it just served as, like, a good reminder of how important that is to carve out time for that. And it doesn't have to be every day, but if you want to notice a less stressed family, have some
meals
together.
What's your answer, though?
What?
Who would you have dinner with?
Oh, probably my grandma. Now, since she's gone, I'll cry if I think about it. And then I would say, ask her all the questions I wanted to ask and say all the things I wanted to say.
Do you feel like you didn't ask her enough stuff?
I mean, I did towards the end, but I feel like...
It's never enough, right?
It's never enough. Mm-hmm. Right. Ever, ever, ever. And then I felt like... I don't know. I was just at the time when she, before she passed away, when she was in like assisted living, like it was a time where my life was moving so fast. I was on the challenge. I was doing all this stuff, traveling a whole bunch. And I just don't feel like I got enough time to spend with her in those moments, you know? Where I could really appreciate that. Cause it, and the time that we did spend together was so valuable and so special to me. And I would have liked more of those moments because it wasn't until things started to kind of slow down in my life that it felt like I was able to prioritize that relationship a little more.
Yeah. My mom always says that's prioritizing the urgent over the important.
Yeah. I was doing that. And yeah, I think we do that in our 20s. Right.
Everybody does that all the time because, oh, I got to do this right now. And then next thing you know, all the right now is like usurp the real point of it all.
Right.
This is like a human thing. This is everyone.
Right. Totally.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah.
Do you have anybody that is not in your family that you would want to have a meal with? I mean, I'm sure there's a million people.
Yeah, but I think who would have, like, I mean, I always go to, like, Larry David would, I think, be a fun one.
Can you imagine?
And then the other one who's always been on my list is Louis Theroux, who's the journalist and documentarian who, he just interviews cool people, and I like how he talks, and I feel like he would ask a lot of good questions at the dinner table and be fun to... talk to. What about you? Who are you inviting over?
I'm sure it's ever changing.
Yeah.
You know how you go through phases of like who's intriguing to you, but I'm in my Johnny Carson era right now.
Oh yeah. Johnny Carson.
And he's extremely interesting to me because he hosted that show for 30 years and I always wanted to host a late night show. That was my goal since I was like 12 was it ain't happening, but that was what I imagined would be so
fun.
We
can record this later and make it feel like it. Whatever
yeah,
you want.
What if? I'll be like, I got in on a technicality. But he was famously basically a misanthrope. I mean, he was shy to a fault. Like
he seems like that.
Be around people on the show, you think?
No, but I think somebody who's so much like that on the show is the opposite of that outside of the show.
It's fascinating to me that like you could be that good and inquisitive and the vibe pope.
Yeah.
He was the vibe pope.
He was the vibe pope.
And yet as soon as that show was over, he wanted to hide.
Yeah. Cause it takes a lot of energy to do that. And I think it's unsustainable. And so in order to be good at it, maybe you have to have that. And it would probably be a little more peculiar now because of how everybody has to kind of be both.
Yeah. Somebody asked, somebody related to him, like, do you think, how would he do now? And they were like, terrible. Because he couldn't do the online stuff.
Right.
But I do think it was extreme. And I want to know why. I mean, there's lots of theories about it, why he was had troubles and stuff. But it's still interesting to me.
Yeah. Really interesting.
Anyway. Yeah.
Questions.
I think that dinner party thing is really funny. And I'm going to ask Lincoln. And I guarantee you it will not be me and Adam.
I almost feel like...
I can't wait to hear.
Yeah. Maybe...
He'll say like... Lionel Messi, he'll say some athlete or,
if you could have dinner with anybody, who would you want to have dinner
with? Who's your prediction of what Lincoln will say? It is not us. I guarantee you.
What's that guy? Patrick Mahomes. Who's he?
He's not into him.
Okay. Not him. Hmm. I don't know what the kid, what I don't know my
you can even do like a genre, like a musician.
Oh, I think it's going to be athlete. Oh, comedian.
Okay. We'll find out. I'm going to find out. I'll video.
And a comedian, if he says mom, dad, that counts. I still win.
Hey, while you were, I know we got to wrap it up, but like whenever you were convalescing, you know, you went through so much and it was such an unusual experience, and you kept saying like, I got a lot of material, like, you know, cause it's so comedic horrifying.
Yes.
Would you ever actually perform a bit, like 5 minutes or?
Yeah, probably. What I think I would do is, and I was thinking about this, like I said when I got out of surgery and like the week after to the nurse, like they should really have like somebody, like a group therapy or somebody come and talk about what this is really like on more of an emotional level, not the physical, like this is going to happen to you, and kind of be more like provide that kind of support. And they said, well, we did used to have that, but the woman who ran it just moved out of state.
Killed herself. Oh.
And I was like, oh, Susie.
And I was really like, thought that's what you were going to say, something really dark.
She moved out of state. And I was like, okay. Well, I'm in state. And so I feel like that would be a great role for me to play and for me to do that. Yeah. And I think.
Did you say I'm available?
Yes, I did.
Great.
And I said, and I had the nurses cracking up on the phone. She was like, oh my God, this is so hilarious. Cause I was going through my symptoms and telling her like, and doing my bit basically it, you know? And so I feel like if I had the opportunity to do that group therapy, like group session and whatever that you call that.
That'd be so cool.
Then I could workshop it there and then find out what stuff really works and kills and then put it together. Because I feel like, between like, you know, mama's first enema and like the constipation alone is 5 minutes of material.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's only relatable to people who are not normally constipated. I'm telling you, I just told this to Adam because you and Adam and some other people I know are those people who like go every day at the same time. And then if it's just like an hour and a half later, you're like, how am I supposed to handle this bloating? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I could go a week and not notice. Like, you guys are big babies about this.
Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily the constipation. It's what I had to do to relieve myself of that.
But why did you feel like you had to relieve it?
Because they had something that they referred to as a plug. That I was taking all of the... I was taking the most laxatives and stool softeners you could possibly take.
Okay, but that's and a condition.
Right.
Okay, but like, what I if had you to just free myself?
I think the condition is fucking hilarious. And I think that anybody listening to me discuss the condition of a very different kind of butt plug.
Yeah.
Is fucking funny.
Okay, I hear you.
The earliest joke was a poo joke. You think it's, I'm not, that this shit is going to kill.
In history, yeah.
Literally, figuratively, yes.
Uh-huh.
Oldest time, joke of old time, oldest joke in the book.
Okay.
Fart joke or poo joke.
Got it.
Yeah, so I think there's good stuff there.
I do too. Yeah. I'm just saying I want you to, I would love for you to actually present it.
Yeah, I think after, I think I can, because I did, I told the story to like three different people and I'm like, ooh, yeah, tell it like that. I'm like workshopping it in my conversations with friends and like my mom between tears, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's what I use humor to cope. So that's exactly what I was doing. I was like, I have never been funnier or these drugs are awesome. One of the two, either way, I'll take it. So.
All right. Well, best wishes to the stingray who is, you know, lying in wait, waiting for all the information.
The next Mary, the next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what else? Andrew Keegan?
Andrew Keegan. Not a cult leader. Just a weird.
I'm still on the fence.
Okay.
I'm going to look into it.
Okay.
But I like that you're keeping an open mind.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That teacher selling art.
Right. You have to go look at the photos. We'll put up, when this episode comes out, we'll put up a little slideshow for you on our story. If you guys do not follow us on Instagram, what the heck you're waiting for? And
I'm going to look and see if I have my certificate from my country.
Yes. give me that poem. Yeah. Somewhere you've got that.
Yeah, we. I can't.
If you've been a victim of the poetry
scam
of 1995, please.
I want to start that scam because that seemed like a lucrative endeavor.
Right.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, as always, and for supporting us. Check out our website for all our candy codes. We love you.
Bye.